Swiss Cybersecurity Days Talk. Powered by Handelszeitung.
Welcome to this episode of the Swiss Cybersecurity Days Talk, recorded live here in Bern. My name is Sandra Casalini, and today I'm joined by Mauro Vignati, expert on cognitive warfare at the International Red Cross. In this episode, we will talk about cognitive warfare in 2025 and on- and offline radicalization. Welcome to our podcast launch, Mauro Vignati. It is a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you very much.
When we talk about threats, or especially cybersecurity, as we do today, we mostly speak about technologies like AI. The most obvious and one of the most dangerous threats rarely comes to our minds, the internet itself, social media especially. Is this an invisible danger, even though we are surrounded by it every day?
So this is a good question. Let's think about the fact that an adult in our connected society spend more or less 7 to 8 hours connected, so receiving information from the connected information that you receive. And then another number that is very interesting, 20% of our decisions are generated through recommended systems. So when you are navigating with your car, when you're choosing your music, choosing the food, so this is recommendation. So it means that all those factors are influencing our capability, our cognition, logically. But the cognitive warfare as an umbrella term is not just information influence or cyber or information operation, psychological operation, but it's also taking into account several other techniques that could be include neuroscience and neurotechnologies, biotechnologies that saw a very fast development in the last 40, 50 years. And recently, mainly I'm thinking about the neurotechnologies that can read brain waves and can influence also brain waves. So this is the future of controlling or try to manipulate the cognition of people.
Cognitive warfare is nothing new. Like thinking about the World Wars, Vietnam, what has changed besides the fact that a lot of more people can be reached these days?
So there are actually three main developments that we see. So first one is the development of the society. So we see an increasing importance of human networks. So people are no more relying on a vertical state apparatus, but they can, through ICT technologies, connect to other folks that have the same mindset and mind perspective. This is one challenge for the classical organization of a society, which has a physical control of the population, but this is going far and no more being only physical. Then we have, logically, the increased amount of ICT technology. So we start with the internet 10 years after. So 97 came in Switzerland, 2007, 10 years after, we have the first iPhone. So always connected, always on. 10 years after the iPhone, we have the first algorithm like GPT that are coming in the market. So they are changing another time the situation. So we have this increase of capabilities. And then at the third topic, we have, as I said before, the neuroscience and neurotechnologies that are now very prominent. So that said, we are in a very peculiar situation where all those capabilities, technologies, and evolution are now challenging. And we have to think about cognitive warfare not just as information operation, but something broader than this term. Mm-hmm.
When we talk about radicalization, studies regarding jihadists, of course, there are more radicalizations than that, but it's what the studies mostly concentrate on, show that the biggest part of them are still radicalized offline, and that those show a significantly higher likelihood of attacking compared to those radicalized online. So why do you consider online radicalization such a big problem?
So the radicalization of beliefs of people is logically easier to do than changing the belief of the people. And I explain myself. So if someone already has a tend to think in some perspective, increasing the radicalization is easier with messages. And those messages are, as I said before, mainly today on online. The opposite is more difficult. To change the mind of a person is way difficult because we have to create a state of cognitive dissonance, which is difficult to create in a person. So changing the belief of a person to to see a perspective from another side is more challenging. Radicalizing is easier. So that's why we see a more effective operation radicalizing a person than the opposite in changing perspective of the people.
So in most cases, it's probably a combination of both of the two things.
Like absolutely, yes.
On and offline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the open and digitalized information environments of democracies make them structurally more vulnerable to the practices of cognitive warfare. What do you think can be done without interfering with democratic structures?
So it's more than the democracies, how we have structured the networks, so the protocols, the sharing of information, the access to other resources. There are limitations, and some states are trying to limit this by limiting the impact of certain technology or the reach of certain capabilities on their physical territory, but this is limited in capacity. What we've seen, as I said before, is these networks of humans that are done through the technologies, the ICT technologies, and that's the challenge for everyone, not just for democracy, also for states that are controlling better their infrastructure or more limiting the access to external opinion or external network. So it's a challenge for every country, especially for democracy that are open in this regard.
Mm. What can an organization like the International Red Cross do regarding such things preventing?
So the main goal of the ICRC is logically the impact on civilians and the protection of civilians in armed conflict and other situations of violence, extreme violence. So our goal is to observe what is happening, how is these capabilities been deployed on armed conflict, and see if there is the respect of international maritime law, and in case intervene to government and non-state actors to see if there is a possibility to be more compliant with the international maritime law.
Great. Thank you very much, Mauro Vignatti, for these insights. It's clear that social media has not only become a part of our everyday lives, but unfortunately also of today's cognitive warfare. It is up to each one of us to remain vigilant. And of course, a big thank you to our audience for tuning in. If you enjoyed the discussion, don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you next time.